I'm Nikki.
And I'm Kirtana.
And you're listening to The Chat Room.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with coffee or with Curran.
I have not. I get my coffee with Curran as a now replaying through you.
That is true. Yeah, that is. A lot of people say that, actually.
There you go.
It's funny because the last episode, he did it with Vicky Kaushal and Siddharth Malhotra, who's in the movie that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And they talk about Student of the Year, and Karan Johar makes fun of that movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I've really heard very many filmmakers openly admit that something they've made is just silly.
Right.
And he does, which I thought was really funny. He even talks about there was one day on set where he looked at the script and was like, why are we making this? Which I think is so funny. And I think it makes me love the movie even more after watching that interview, just to know that, like, even he was actively like, what are we doing here, guys?
That's kind of incredible. So this week is a special episode. As you can probably tell, we're doing Now Replaying. For those who have never joined us before and don't know, Now Replaying is basically where we go back in time and we rewatch the South Asian movies or TV shows from when we were younger and overanalyze the crap out of them. And this week, we've brought a dear friend to overanalyze with us, actor and comedian Dhruv Uday Singh. You may have seen Dhruv on Good Trouble on Freeform or On the Verge on Netflix. He also happens to be in a little movie called Land of Gold.
What's that? Never heard of it.
It's really weird. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Lame. Just kidding. For those of you who don't know, Land of Gold is the film that Kirtana produced and cast.
Yes, yes. The cool thing about Dhruv is that he actually like did some time working in India because he's from there.
That's why we wanted him to talk about this movie with us, because he literally went to high school in India and we wanted to ask him like all the dirty questions and expose whether this is accurate at all.
I don't know that he actually gave us accurate answers.
That's true. That's the one thing I love about Dhruv is he's kind of like, he's a crazy guy. Like I love him so much. He's so crazy. But he's also the type of person who you could be having dinner with them and he won't say anything the whole dinner, but he'll say one thing that is just funniest thing you hear all night.
And that's the story you tell. That's the story you tell about that dinner.
Exactly. I love this movie. I still stand by it. Oh, we didn't even say what movie it is, dude.
Didn't I say Student of the Year? And this week's Now Replaying is Student of the Year. Directed by Karan Johar. Released in 2012.
2012?
2012.
Oh,
that's why we did it this year, because it's the 10-year anniversary this year.
I know, but like, have you seen that Instagram meme of like, oh, 30 years ago, it was 1970. Just kidding. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. That was like 50 years ago.
Is that the most depressing thing you ever heard?
It really is.
You know, I'm gonna say a hot take. When we decided to pick this movie, in my mind, I was like, oh my God, this is such a shitty movie, like blah, blah, blah. I'm not gonna lie, bro. I thoroughly enjoyed watching this movie.
Yeah, after it's a fun time.
So many years, I'm like writing my notes, like trying to find stupid shit to say about it. And I'm like, it's perfect. Like, I don't, like, what am I supposed to say?
I mean, it is not, listen. Is it a great film? Like, yes. in the annals of history, will it be remembered as like
yes.
a quality film on par with like, I don't know, Casablanca or something? Probably,
yes.
Probably not. That being said, is it entertaining as hell? Absolutely.
It's like if Gossip Girl and High School Musical had a baby in India. That's this movie. And both of those things are wildly evergreen. I was just fully That's expecting great. To hate on it. And then I watched it and I was like, can I watch it again? Like, it was so.
Okay, well, I have things. So.
Yes.
Have we started recording, by the way?
We have started recording.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is part of it. This is all part of it?
This is all part of it. Let's actually start and say, Dhruv, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. What a treat.
We're so excited to have you. You're a very funny person. Don't let it go to your head.
Thank you. It's gone to my head already.
I'm like, yeah, it is his head.
It's done. It's done. But yeah, so we definitely picked this movie as Nikki said, to be like, I will say funny things. But that being said, not to the extent that she feels this, but I definitely did think while watching this, I was like, this is a silly movie, but God, if I'm not having a good time. So yeah. So let's just let's dive into it and have a good time, I think, you know?
There is a case to be made that this is India's Casablanca, you know? Like, if they just tweaked it a little bit. Of all the cook-cut boys and all the cook-cut joints in the world.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we thought of the movie, I'm going to do a quick synopsis. So here we go.
I'm so excited to try to distill how complicated this
is. It's so bad. So let's do it. All right. It's so bad. Here we go.
Let's go.
All right. Student of the Year follows Rohan, played by Varun Dhawan, Shania, played by Alia Bhatt, and their friends, whose life at St. Teresa's High School is rocked by the sudden arrival of new student Abhimanyu, played by Siddharth Malhotra. The three start out with an antagonistic relationship between the haves, Rohan and Shania, and the have-nots, Abhi, but soon they form a bond. 2 years later, the dean, Yogendra Vishisht, announces that the school will participate in the Student of the Year competition. Friendships are broken. Love triangles are formed. The film goes back and forth in time, one storyline in present day, and the others are extended flashbacks of the friends' school years. And we learn how that year of the competition continues to affect each of the students and their teachers.
That sounded like such a serious movie. Before we start, there are two facts that I just, because Dhruv has never seen this movie, I just want to know if he knows.
That I'd never seen it before this, yeah.
Before, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Kuch Kuch Hota Hai?
Of course.
I'm so glad you brought this up right away. Let's do it.
Okay, Tanya, the mean girl.
The one who was trying to steal Alia's boyfriend.
Yeah, trying to steal
Varun Dhawan the whole time.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the little girl from Kuch Kuch
Hota Hai. That's Anjali.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Anjali from Kuch Kuch Hota
Hai. Anjali loves to be a thought. She's a thought.
So this takes place within the Karan Johar cinematic universe.
100%.
That's the same girl. 100%. Wow.
Yep, yep. An old Shah Rukh Khan and an old Kajol appears in this movie. So there you go, which we can talk about later. You know, that was probably just Tanya's mom who just showed up just to hang out.
What's the other thing? Stepmom. The second thing?
The second thing, which I did not know until I looked this up, Sudo, the mm-hmm. guy who's like the nerdy guy, mm-hmm. he is Bowman Irani's son.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, also didn't know because mm-hmm. he's actually like really good. I don't know why he wasn't in anything else.
He is. He's funny. He's got like charm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
Supporting cast.
He has a nice emotional drunk scene, you know, mm-hmm, where he mm-hmm. tells some adults.
You're my ass. That's my favorite part.
Dean Yogendra Vashisht. Yeah. Well, listen, this is the perfect time to get into the intros of all of our students and their friends, our main and supporting characters. As already discussed, our three leads are Abhimanyu, played by Siddharth Malhotra, Rohan or Ro, played by Varun Dhawan, and Shania, played by Queen Alia Bhatt. This is all of their debut. This is the big debut for
Isn't
all three.
Crazy. Oh wait, actually, I had one more fun fact after you said that.
Yeah,
Varun Dhawan and Siddharth Malhotra were Karan Johar's assistants on My Name Is Khan.
That's right. That's how a lot of, like, I feel like every time I look up how an actor got their start, even the ones who like are kids of blah blah blah, they always have one credit at the top that says like assistant director, associate whatever. Like, and I'm like, oh. All right, I guess that's a cool way to get in. I guess that's
I don't know if I would credit that as how they got their start.
Right. You
know, if your last name is Dhawan, I'm not
David,
gonna say.
David Dhawan is how Varun Dhawan got his start.
Pounding the pavement for like, let me try and get in the industry. However, I'll take any job, an assistant job. Okay, your dad made a call.
Exactly. Or I grew up with Karan Johar. So.
I'm not shitting on it. You know what I mean? It's still
no, but that is a whole separate conversation that has nothing to do with this movie. And I think we can all agree pretty safely that Alia Bhatt has took this opportunity mm-hmm. and just really went ham with it because mm-hmm. that woman has really been killing it lately. So mm-hmm.
She went from this movie to
Highway.
Yeah. Like, whoa! What a jump! Like. Mm-hmm.
What a jump. But yeah, let's intro not just our three leads, but let's intro our side friends. It's important for us to bring up Jeet, who is Rohan's
team. Jeet. I'm team Jeet for student of the year all day, every day.
Jeet, who is Rohan's best friend, or really the chumpche, as they call him in the film. We've got Shruti, who is Shania's best friend, similar to Jeet in a lot of ways. Hate her. All right. Well, we got some.
Dude, Shruti's a snake. Shruti's a snake.
We'll talk about that too.
She's such a snake.
We've got Sudo, whose full name is Kaizad Soda Bottle Opener Walla. And we have, and then we, the last of the four friends is Dimpy, who kind of pops in and out whenever he wants to. And then we've got Frenemy. Dimpy is the one who starts the Kukkad song, which we will get into. But the
He's the one who calls
everyone to the hospital.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, yeah. I tried to look up what he seemed like a child actor just because he had a baby face, and I thought maybe he would be the boy, the other cute boy from Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, one that counts the stars, but it wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
It's less exciting.
I'm pulling up the cast list because I want to make sure I can see all the faces and remember who.
His name is Manjot Singh. That's his real name.
Okay. Yeah. But
he went to college with a Manjot Singh.
Is it the same guy? You should look it up.
Yeah.
But Dimpy is the one who has no beef with anyone, basically. He just kind of pops in and out and he's like, hey, what's up? And then he calls everybody to come to the hospital. And clearly they all still like him because they all show up. So, and then we have, last but not least, the frenemy, Dania Israni, played by former Anjali in Kuch Kuch Hota Hai.
I like that.
Sana Saeed. That's the actress's name. Here's the thing. The intro of like all the friends is all in the hospital scene and in present day. And they all, you know, there's a lot of like fourth wall, like Parks and Recreation, The Office moments happening where everybody talks to the camera, you know?
A lot. It's like the number one mode of exposition. It's the ultimate exposition. It's like not even a voiceover or a narrative. It's like, let's have all the characters speak directly and say, now this next character you're going to meet, 17 years old, in high school, a bit of a nerd, but people respect him. And then they cut to them.
I know, and then suddenly the mockumentary is gone once like they have to go into the hospital room dramatic again.
It's just a massive play. I've just the set piece is like you go into the cafeteria, it is literally in Broadway lights.
Yep.
Cafeteria.
Yep. Yeah.
Like it's a play. The whole thing.
Absolutely. And the thing that I think is really fun about the intro for the three leads in particular is that they all get their own songs. Like they all have their own like entry songs, which is such a like classic like 70s like Indian film thing to do. Like I remember the one that stands out aside from Kukkad, which you know is Abhimanyu's song, and we can talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. But Shania's is her just going like, "I live in Prada and Jimmy Choo's and whatever that song is."
I love that song.
It's beautiful.
It's the song Gulabi Aankhein, but then the chorus is all the like brands that she wears.
They should have done it right the first time. Like it should have had the brands in the song the first time.
In Gulabi Aankhein, the original.
Yeah.
It's like We Didn't Start the Fire, but if it was just brand names.
You know, just brand names.
It's a list song.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Jimmy Choo, Dolce & Gabbana, Ruchita, da, da, da. It's like that. Right. Just,
I will say, like, she's supposed to be like the fashionable person, and I do remember that in that particular song, I was like, I don't like any of the things that she's wearing.
It's also fashion isn't supposed to be cute, though.
I guess, that's true.
We don't have those montage. We don't have that in our life.
But isn't it also if it starts in 2012, but then the whole thing takes place 10 years in the past, right?
So it's supposed to be 2002.
Is it like are the fashions supposed to reflect?
So then it's 2000s fashion. Is that what we're saying? So if that's the case, bang on job costume designer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the fashions are meant to be like you know that era of like Paris Hilton and on the red carpet where it was all.
Right. Wow. You're so
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You're right. Then you know what? I take it back. I truly take it back because that was the style back then. I remember when everyone was wearing hip huggers and weird, like, do you remember those dresses that would like curl inward. Like you wouldn't see the hem. It would just like curl inward at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely had a homecoming dress like that.
Yeah. It was like, she was wearing a lot of those. And I was like, does Dolce and Gabbana have dresses like that? But they must have in 2000s because mm-hmm. why would they sing about it?
No, we were shopping at Kohl's. Like we weren't shopping at Dolce.
Shopping at Old Navy, and 20 years later, I'm shopping.
I was saving Kohl's cash. You know what I did notice though in the intros that I clocked later on, because there's a scene where Abhimanyu, my husband, he asks for money for a science project. But in that, in his song, he has like three different pairs of Ray-Bans that he's wearing in the song.
And three different leather jackets. And like,
who's complaining? Not me. I'm just saying.
Inconsistency that's like, anytime they cut to him, there's no indication, like even in there's no real indication that he's like poorer than all the other students, even though that's what we're supposed to believe.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's always dressed the same. He's always, I don't know. He has a bike, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's the case for all of them, right? I mean, I know they're all wearing uniforms, but underneath the uniforms, even the like, they start out the film by saying that there are the haves and the have nots, right? The people whose parents made a call, they got into St. Teresa's, and the people who took a test, and it's like scholarship kids, basically. Mm-hmm. And even then, I'm like, I don't really know the difference, aside from some of you just look less hot than the others.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that was like the indication of class society. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I just remember thinking like everyone's wearing the same stuff. So yeah. I really can't tell the difference for sure. And then Rohan's intro song is Papa Que Te Je, but then he says, who gives a bleep? Because they don't say the F word.
Oh, when he's like shredding the guitar at the beginning.
Who gives a F about Papa? Really harsh. Yeah.
Also, I was like, is this what the takeaway is supposed to be about what his future rock stardom is like, looks like?
That whole song, it felt like... like a 10-year-old's version of what like a rock star.
A rock star would be. Exactly. You know, I'm like, is this the indication I'm supposed to take away from like later life, you know, spoiler alert, you know, platinum records, whatever thing that he talks about? Like,
What are you trying to make a point? Because yes, that's what the takeaway was. But
Nikki bought a ticket to his tour. That's what we're hearing. And then finally we come to the last of the three major intro songs, which is Cookard, which is Abhimanyu's song.
Also is basically Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham.
Yeah, it's Deewane Hai Dekho had exploded is essentially what Cookard is.
They literally hold up a sign, I think, that says, who are you? And I'm like, can you imagine walking through campus like on your first day of class and someone's holding up signs that say, who are you?
Also, how fast did they make those? There's two theories here. Either they made it so fast because they were like, oh, hot guy alert, let me make a quick sign.
I mean, I'm there. I'm the first one making
or
signs.
Or the other theory is that they have signs just ready to go. Like the welcoming committee is just like, you either get the sign of, or you either don't get a sign because you're not like hot enough, or here's your sign.
Yeah, this is just this is how they make people feel welcome at the school.
You don't think that's what Tanya's doing with her head cheerleader fund? Like, absolutely, she's making signs that say, who are you, to scout fresh meat.
Also, can we take a side tangent for Tanya? What part of her introduction is her mom saying, like, did you get that push-up bra that I told you to get?
Are you wearing the push-up bra?
Did you send the DMs?
Flirty BBMs? I had no idea what that was.
Was amazing.
I still don't know what it is because it's also a tech company, I think.
BBM. Wait, you know, BBMs are BlackBerries, again, this movie has an amazing adherence to chronological, like, fidelity. It's like exactly on the money where it's like, oh yeah, BBMs were big in the early 2000s. Let's go back to that. It's kind of amazing. Whoever was in charge of that, like the script supervisor.
Killed it.
Dhruv, you did you go to high school in India? You went to college?
I did.
Right?
High school.
So many questions.
It's exactly like this. The first my first day in high school, I walked around feeling like I was in Memento because a bunch of signs said, who are you? some teacher wrote, "Who are you on the blackboard?" You remember that happened in the movie? That's what happens.
Did you slow motion get off of a motorcycle and put on four different aviators?
Yes, I did that. Yeah, of course I did that. Got into this big standoff with this fucking dickhead in my school. We took our shirts off. I was ripped. I was at 8% body fat all the time. Every dude in our school was, basically.
For sure, for sure. Except for Dimpy and Soda and Suda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A couple. It was it was a lot like this movie for sure.
Did you have like a cheerleading that dynamic? I'm like, do cheerleaders exist in India?
It's 100% the most Americanized version of like high. It's like a fantasy American high school. Like cheerleader? No fuck. I mean, now there are, I think, cheerleaders in the IPL.
IPL has
them now, but that's very much because they've molded IPL after the success of like basketball and stuff out here. So they're trying to make it, you know, like as compact a sport as you can. So I get that. I was growing up, for sure, no cheerleaders.
Okay, same with prom. Did you have a prom?
No, we didn't have prom. We had things called we had a thing called a social, you know, where there'd be like a kind of dance at the end of the year for the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. And like the end of the year or whatever. There was like a dance.
Dude.
Did you have a prom that also doubled as a dance competition for a student-wide competition?
That we did have. Okay. Yeah, we had that. We also had this thing where at every assembly, like in school, all the rich kids would sit together, but they'd always reserve one seat that was empty just in case someone else came along.
So that was your seat, right?
Yeah, I'd always take that seat and then they'd glare at me, but I'd just be like, I don't give a fuck.
Whatever,
man.
I belong here too.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear that up because, which you did, you cleared that up.
Yeah.
Cleared it up perfectly. Are we supposed to assume this is a boarding school? Or is this like a private school?
We are, because they go home only on the weekends, right?
Yeah. And that part of the Kukkot song is like they're wearing PJs. Like the girls are like in like.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So this is a boarding school. Like, I mean, I know they, a lot of them seem to just be really close to home. So it just must be a boarding school near.
Actually, I'm going to think back. It's if Mohobatein and High School Musical had a baby.
There you go. Mm. That's exactly right.
There were also a lot of like, I got a lot of Mohobatein vibes this time around watching it.
Sure.
It was also, I mean, I don't know what the exact location was, but there were scenes that were shot in Delhi, like exteriors in Delhi. So they were obviously near there somewhere, right? I assume. I feel like the Red Fort is in one of the songs.
Yeah. It's in Vele, which is the club scene.
Yeah.
Naturally, that's where we would be.
Naturally, so they're at a club in Delhi, and then they decide to go drag racing in that bomb ass red.
Every time, that's the one thing about Indian culture too. Your listeners who didn't grow up there should know. Like when we go clubbing, we always like to explore the cultural history. You know, late into the night, we like to hit up like one of the monuments, or it's just kind of what
honestly,
you do in India.
You say that, and when I was watching that scene, rewatching that scene, I was like, didn't they do this in like Rang De Basanti?
They did.
They're all drinking and then drive around.
Mm-hmm. Like you're saying it as a joke, but evidence
points to this is true.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, I guess to be fair, like if you live in a city like New Delhi, every square corner has a fucking monument. You can't really avoid it. You know?
Also, but aren't there like gates up? So, like, don't they have the like police gates and things? So they just move them and they let them do whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah. If you're a hot young high school kid, you can get away with
it. Like you are.
Ripped. Remember, ripped.
Ripped.
Yeah.
8%
ripped. Ripped 25-year-old in high school. That was me. Like everyone in this movie.
Oh, gosh.
That's the other thing. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like throughout the movie, all the male characters are standing fully flexed, like all the time.
Oh.
If they're in a standoff.
Are you telling us that you didn't do that in high school? You didn't stand fully flexed at all times?
No, I started doing that more in my adult life. Like right now, I'm so tense. I'm fuck every muscle in my body. Like they're just standing and looking at each other or whatever, but you're like, they are like chest puffed, arms to the side, flex. It's a casual scene where there's supposed to be friends talking, but everyone is like fucking flexing. You know what I mean?
I will say this was... I remember at the time thinking this too, but this was one of the first movies I saw around that time where there's exactly one scene of Alia Bhatt in like, you know, skimpy clothing, skimpy being a very subjective word, but like in small clothing, which is her bikini. She has one like bikini shot, which she looks great. But there's about 864 shots of Varun Dhawan and Siddhartha Malhotra coming out of the water.
Yeah.
In different places where we're like, where's the water? But like, it's so male objectifying. And I just, it's so fantastic. I just love it.
Can comment on
it's the greatest thing ever. I love the fact that the Alia Bhatt one is like an afterthought. Like, just let me look at the glistening eight packs on these men.
I will say she looks healthy. I love that about her, just in her whole career, even though she's a very tiny person. Alia looks so healthy.
I think especially
and Bollywood stuff. Movie. Like I know from friends of mine who were like female actresses who work there. I'm like, it's tough, man. Like it's the pressure to be like rail thin is very, very, even more than Hollywood, if you can believe it.
Alia's definitely skinny baby, but like it just was so I don't know. I didn't feel like intimidating. It felt like, oh.
Yeah.
She looks like she's in high school, because she was at the time, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
On the other hand, as a man watching it, I was intimidated the whole time by these fucking.
Well, that's because it's Alia Bhatt was like 18, and Varun Dhawan and Siddhartha Malhotra were like 26.
So
you know, that doesn't really help the case here. They went I mean
bodily. I mean, just looking at them, I'm like, they're fucking like, you know, they're like shred. They look like they're about to go into a competition. They're like so 100%. Shredded. Which I get.
I don't know. I don't know if like my brain is slowly going into auntie territory, but I'm not even gonna lie. Like watching them walk out of water or like touch themselves, I was just like,
why? Oh. Why?
I was just like, you're in high school. I was like, you're in high school. Put a shirt on, and that like you just see like I don't know. I'm getting into that phase, and like
That's not where my head went. My head went to they're gonna get pruny. They're in the water too much. That's where my head went.
Hmm. No, they're not. They're oiled up. They're not going to get pruny.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, I know this is, I don't know if you want to get into this or I don't know if it's even, is it? I think it's politically correct to say it's that the movie definitely has the gay male gaze more than the male gaze. You know,
1,000%.
And understandably.
And there's a whole subsection of a storyline that we will get into that.
Yes, with the dean and the
with
coach.
With the dean, with the of dean course. And the coach in Rishi particular, Kapoor. For sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot
A lot of that you do have to view in the context of just India at the time, which even 10 years ago, doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah.
Shit was still more, you know, it was still evolved. We still had a gay, being gay was still illegal, I believe, then. That only changed, what was it, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? So I feel like
us, even.
Maybe less, yeah. So even in context of that shit, we still had that old-ass British law, you know what I mean? So I think there's like, it's always been this thing where Bollywood forever has toed at it and talked about it. Back in like 50s movies, like Guru Dutt movies and stuff, there were gay characters who were quite, you know what I mean? Like kind of in the movie because everyone knew, and Bollywood especially, just like Hollywood, always had a slightly liberal bent where like, let's talk about this shit, but you could not do it. And I feel like this movie is trying to do that. But
Which is like good. I mean, obviously a lot of the ways it was done was a little problematic, but it's almost like I would rather start a conversation than like get super political about what's right or wrong, especially considering what you just said when this movie came out. That was another thing I was thinking about when I was watching this movie. I was like, I remember watching it and being like, oh my God, this is so problematic. Like this stuff is not like, it's not written properly. This, that, this, that. And I'm like, damn, but at the time, it really was the only, like it is an openly gay character in the, like, they talk about it. They literally talk about it.
I mean, I don't think he's like out of the closet, but everyone knows.
Hey, everyone knows.
I feel like the good thing for me, my takeaway was the good thing about it was that they still, the coach and the dean still have a nice relationship at the end of the day, that like, he's literally there at his deathbed. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, honestly, the only real problematic part of it is that it felt like harassment.
For sure.
It felt like, I mean, that was for me the only part where I was like, all right. I mean, you know, they can handle it how they want to handle it. And I like the idea of them being friends at the end of the day. But like, he literally throws a drum at his wife's head.
he frisbees a drum.
Right. He like frisbees a drum at the wife's head. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
I mean, you haven't wanted to do that to your crush's girlfriend. I mean,
I don't actually do it.
I've had that once or twice.
But again, but that being said, like, I actually really liked the moment at the end where he's like, maybe in the next life, and the coach is actually like very sweet to him. Like, I do like that part of it, because that is handled, I think, especially at the time, that is probably the best way to handle that moment, despite the fact that there is harassment when he was, you know,
out at that point.
He probably would be at that point out. I would be very surprised if by that point he's not at least. I mean, even if he's not, everyone already knew. Everyone knew when he was, you know, the dean 10 years before that. So I don't think that's necessarily the problem.
What would be crazy was like if, to give the movie so much credit, if they were like actually very progressive in writing it, and then they were like, well, this takes place 10 years ago, so let's modify these scenes problematic wise to reflect the early 2000s. So that this, even the writing was, you know what I mean? Like more in line with the time period. That would be crazy.
Well, I think what we should do then is we should have Karan Johar, Renzel Da Silva, and Niranjan Iyengar come on the podcast and talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
open invitation to the writers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I want to get back to the point of the actual Student of the Year competition, which is the competition.
By the way, doesn't start until the last like 30 minutes of the movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here, just before we get into like what the sections of the competition are, this is a high school. So, and but the dean keeps saying it's a school-wide competition, but it looks like it's just like the senior class of students. Does anyone actually know like what... who's allowed to participate? Because I could not for the life of me figure this out.
No, let me educate you, because this competition is how you get into college, actually.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's for seniors.
So it's for seniors only?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
It's but like it's the SATs, but...
Yeah,
but it's like the second semester of senior year, correct? So wouldn't they have already gone into college by that point?
So I would stop being a hater if I were you, because that's not, you need to suspend your reality just a little bit.
copy that. All right. Well, you know what? I take it back.
We're on a different college application. It's 2002. Okay.
It's 2002. Yeah, I keep forgetting. Mm-hmm. It's 2002.
You got it from the time.
Dhruv, in your high school, after you had your student-wide competitions, was that then you got your acceptance letters based off of the results of that?
Yeah, basically. Like, instead of SATs, you know how SATs have a verbal section and a math section and stuff? Here we had, what were the sections in this again? Like
Academics / scavenger hunt is one section. So that narrows you down to 12. Mm-hmm. And then you have the dance contest, which then narrowed it down to like 8 or something. Mm-hmm. I think 4, 5, or 6 or something got out. And then you have the triathlon.
God, if my college acceptances depended on me participating in a triathlon,
I'd be done.
I would be living at home. Like, I would 100%.
Yeah.
I'd marry my ass off. Can you imagine?
There's been a lot of like debate, you know, in India about like, well, why are we falling? Why is India falling behind China and the world economy and stuff? It's because right now a lot of the like ways students are selected for college are with a dance competition and a scavenger hunt and a triathlon.
Yeah. The thing that I absolutely love about the scavenger hunt is that whenever they get to a clue and then they figure out a clue, their reactions are the most high school reactions I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, yes.
That was the only thing in the competition that I was actually like, some of the riddles were kind of tricky. Like, I was following them. Like, they were kind of like, oh, this is a brain cruncher. Like,
I very much appreciated the this plus this equals this to figure out the clues.
Like, clues in like Sanskrit and then like wrote them out in English on the screen. Thank God.
Yeah.
Basically, this whole movie like reminded me how much of like how untalented I am in everything that they do in the movie to get into college. Like, wow.
Well, and I'm sure you were happy, Team G, that he just said what Jay Matadi and then he got every single answer right.
No, justice for Jeet. That's all I'm saying. He should have won. He should have gotten a girl. it's just.
Did he want the girl? It just seemed like he.
Because at one point, well, maybe he wanted her just to make the guys jealous, but.
I think he just wanted the status. I don't think he wanted the girl, which he deserved the status.
I think he deserved the girl.
You need a sequel with just Jeet as a star.
Jeet of the year. That's the year. I will say justice for Jeet because it seems like everyone else's lives are like fine and flourishing and all that stuff. And he's the one who's like a ticket to whatever, the cheapest ticket. And I'm like, what happened to this poor guy?
I didn't even get that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even catch that. They said that. I was too focused on Abhimanyu being poor. I can only one kid can be poor in my mind.
That's it. And then we get to the dance contest where Danya's mom, Kajal, shows up.
The way, like, I just want to take her and Johar to prom. Like, I feel so sad that he is just so desperate to go to prom and puts it in every single movie of his. And I'm just like, will someone take this man to a prom?
He really needs to go.
He can experience this and realize, like, Or maybe we don't take him because I feel like he's going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I was like, I'd rather him not go because then he'll show up at like a Hyatt with a bunch of like sweaty teens making out with each other on the dance floor. And he'll be like, ugh, why am I here?
Prom, when you guys went to prom, was it really like the crowning thing the way it is in movies? You know, where it's like all the shit happens. No, it's not that.
Not even a little bit. Not for me. Not at all.
Different opinions. Okay.
Prom was very fun, but it was pretty dramatic. Like all the drama.
That's what movies have led me to believe.
Do you know what my senior year prom theme was? I was head of prom committee naturally. It was Bollywood themed.
No, it was not. Stop it.
All these, but here's the plot twist. So I organized everything. I had a hand in everything. I get to prom. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I love everything we did. And all of a sudden, my prom advisor comes up to me and she goes, Nikki, I got us a surprise. And I was like, oh no, what did you do?
And this director from India insisted on coming. He's going to be watching.
I literally wish she hired belly dancers to come on stage and dance for us.
Wow.
At Bollywood prom. And my jaw was on the floor. I was just like, oh my God, you used real human dollars to hire belly dancers at our Bollywood prom?
Wow. Oh, Lord. Well, speaking of your teacher who had the wrong idea, I will say that the adults in this movie, this is the one like kind of thing about the film that really annoyed me. Which is that, and I guess the reason for doing it, I understand in some ways, but the one thing I really didn't like about this movie is that it felt like every adult except for Abhimanyu's grandmother is either completely insane or just the worst person.
Everyone sucked. That dad, Rohan's dad sucked. I love that ending. I honestly forgot that that's how the movie ended.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. It was another Top Gun moment. I was like, yes.
But like literally there's not one, I mean there is exactly one adult,
like the coach's wife, she's cute.
I mean she's also kind of insane to me, like as much as I like the coach and his wife, they're also kind of insane in the grand scheme of things, for me at least, because they're just like completely fine with the harassment that they're both facing by the dean.
They don't know.
Yeah. They're also oblivious to like if you were given a urine sample with a label on it that presumably says like the name and what the thing is, you would look at the label before sprinkling it on your fucking child.
There's that too. There's that too.
9-year-old child. Like you,
that's what I'm saying. That is an insane thing to do. There's the lack of common sense in that moment is completely crazy.
That's a funny scene though. I like it.
Such a funny scene. I love the kids just like, what? Like
this is.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. All the adults sucked.
They do. Every single one. I mean, it's not just Rohan's dad. Abhi's aunt is a demon woman. She is a demon spawn of a human being. Literally, the grandmother is being rolled away and she's about to die. And she says, like, everything you touch is cursed or something. And I was like, what the hell?
She comes from Indian soaps. That's another thing. A good chunk of the actors from this movie come from the best, worst soaps. Like, they carry that.
It's intentional. Yeah, it's definitely a choice. Like, all those things feel like he's going for that. You know, he wants them to be, like, playing it to the rafters kind of performances.
100%. Like,
and what's her name? The who you mentioned earlier, Keith, Alia Bhatt's mom, the BBM's.
Tanya's mom.
Yeah. Tanya's mom, that's right.
Yeah, she's insane too, but I love that scene.
Oh, it's great.
I would have loved if my mom was like, hey, did you wear the push-up bras I bought you? I bought my bras from Walmart. Like, I don't know.
I think I would draw a hard line if my mom was like, did you send those flirty BBMs to that guy who has a girlfriend? I'd be like,
I think I'd be like, mom, are you okay? Do we need to have a talk? Like, why?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it, but I understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I very much get that, like, the focus is on the kids. So who really at the end of the day gives a shit about most of the adults, except for, I guess, the dean, because he's like the catalyst for them, you know, reuniting and whatnot. But it is one of those things where I'm like, it's so over the top at times where I'm like, does she have to be that big of a demon?
This is not on the agenda, but I think this is the most important thing to talk about.
Yes.
Who's team who in this love triangle?
I'm team Shania. If it were me, this is the same thing when people are like, are you team Edward or team what's the other one?
You're about to say this is the same thing that happened to me. And I was like, what?
Same thing that happened to me in high school. And I made a choice. And my choice was to stay alone. No, this is the same like team Edward, team Jake. She's better off with neither of them, honestly. At the end of the day,
team neither of them.
I'm team neither of them.
Wow, that's some real.
I'm team female autonomy. I'm team female autonomy. That's it.
Huh.
This is again how like I've evolved as a human. When I first watched this movie, I was like, yeah, Alia, like get with the right guy. And then I was like, now I'm like, wait, did she technically cheat on him?
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, for sure.
100%.
But he cheated on her.
Sure, but they make a commitment after that wedding to be together.
Oh, I guess you're right.
And at that point, they are exclusive. That's it.
I'm team threesome. I'm team like polyamory. I think like when there's a triangle like this, you got three hot people. Just see what happens. Like do a three-way and then see where the, you know what I mean? This is what the chat room podcast is, right? You rewrite every movie into erotic fan fiction.
100%.
At the end of it. Like, what if it was this? What if they all fucked each other? No matter what movie it is. Like, we're talking about Lagan right now. Yeah, but what if the whole cricket team just like sucked each other's dicks?
We're gonna be bringing Dhruv back every episode as just our erotic consultant. He's just our lust correspondent.
I like it.
Lust correspondent. I love that.
Yeah, they call me. That's a great job title.
Lust correspondent. It's pretty good, right?
I honestly, again, I stand by it. I went into watching this movie yesterday. I was like, I can't wait to rip it apart. And you know what? I loved it. I loved every second of it. I might watch it again tonight because you know what, Kirthna? I lied to you. I rented it. And it
you did? I knew you rented it. I told you not to do it. I told you to use my login.
But yeah, I think this was a good movie. I think it was a feel-good movie. I think it ended perfectly.
Yeah. I concur with that review. I also was like, it's a good time. I don't know. It's fun. It's like eight different genres. It's a sports movie. It's a dance movie. It's, you know, like all good Bollywood movies. It's got everything. It's got some action. It's got some fucking Lamborghini, like donut drag racing. It's got eye candy mostly for women or gay men. It's got.
Listen, I think everyone can respect the physique on those two men.
Yeah, but it's a different form of, you know, I respect it, but I'm not looking at it probably the same way.
He respects it as he walks to the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Kirthna, do you feel like you got some closure on any sort of hang up you had about this movie, perfect and brilliant and deserving of accolade?
Here's how I look at it. Can I enjoy this film and also enjoy A Death in the Gunge and Ship of Theseus? Yes, 100% I can do all of those things. And for that reason, I still very much enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like you have to be in different mindsets. And
mindset. There should really be just nothing happening up here when you're watching. Let it go. No brain cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I throw some superlatives at you?
Let's do it. Yeah. So Dhruv, I don't know if you're aware of this. I know you're an avid listener. But usually the way we end these episodes out is the wonderful Nikki here, she puts together some superlatives that we then have to answer based on whatever character fits that to superlatives best in the film.
You know, worthy superlatives.
Just a, yeah, worthy. And this is perfect. This is like hot. I mean, this film is actually the perfect movie for superlatives because it's like the high school yearbook. Like, that's essentially what we're doing here.
Oh, I see.
Most likely to catfish someone on Tinder.
Oh, Dean Yogi, Rishi Kapoor.
Yeah. Dean Yogendra Vashisht.
Dean Yogendra Vashisht.
You can't not say his full name.
Yeah.
Most likely to drop their phone in the toilet.
Jeet.
Yeah.
<It's> Jeet. Poor guy. Justice for.
It's okay. I'll buy him a new phone.
There he is.
So most sweet. Likely to have a conspiracy doc come out about them. I think it's the coach. I feel like there's some shady shit going on with
him. I was going to say Dimpy. Mm-hmm. He's the one we know the least about, man. What's he up to?
Dimpy could be running some sort of underground.
Yeah. Maybe, mm-hmm. You don't know. Maybe he's got a whole cult. Maybe he's a leader of a cult. You don't know.
Dimpy would be a great unassuming cult leader.
Yeah.
Most likely to be Lady Bridgerton.
Dean Yogi.
Biggest drama queen, and it's definitely or pseudo. He's a bit of a drama queen.
He's a bit of a, yeah. Dean Yogendra Vashisht.
The drinking game for this episode.
That's Oh Lord. Well, listen. I think we can all agree this is a very fun time. And anyone who hasn't checked out this movie in a while, it's been 10 friggin' years, so check it out again. And I will say it's actually really nice that like we feel very positive about this because at the end of the day, you just need to turn your brain off and watch like silly shit from time to time. And this is just like the best silly movie to just turn your brain off and check out and not have to deal with like, oh, what's problematic about X, Y, and Z? You know what I mean? Like it's not hurting anyone. It's a great time. And we all need that in our lives, I feel like, especially right now.
And scene. So true, bestie. So true.
All right. Well, that's it, friends. We're out. Thank you, Dhruv.
Thanks for having me. What a fun time.
The Chat Room is hosted by me, Nikki Menon.
And me, Kirtana Sastry.
In partnership with Brown Girl Magazine.
Pallavi Sastry is our consulting producer.
All podcast artwork is created by Aishwarya Sukesh, and opening music is by Sridhar Bambipati.
Special thanks to Thrisha Sukujawalia. Please subscribe to The Chat Room on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening right now.
Thanks for tuning in.